I believed that America was a democracy, and I took that really seriously. And I never caught the wink that it's a democracy for some people, not for other people.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the disclaimer. That's right, the disclaimer. This American apple pie institution known as parental discretion will cleanse any sense of innuendo or sarcasm from the lyrics, which might actually make you think, and will also insult your intelligence at the same time. So, protect your family. This album contains explicit depictions of things which are real. These real things are commonly known as life. So, if it sounds sarcastic, don't take it seriously. If it sounds dangerous, do not try this at home or at all. And if it offends you, just don't listen to it.
The ongoing press coverage of the oil leak has been a disaster for the South Coast and the United States, but it's the misconceptions of the oil spill in the Gulf that is most disconcerting.
The fear of seeing, God forbid, touching oil at the beach is presented as if it's some sort of poisonous monster.
Bill Martin, president of Gulf Oil Disaster, also known as GOD, is finally speaking out.
We're talking about nothing more than a soft, slippery substance.
It's the media in the U.S. that continues blasting BP and other oil companies in their newscasts, presenting oil as a damaging substance.
Despite what the politicians and the protesters have been sending out in the media, we've already done more than is necessary for the little people in these beach areas.
Environmental enthusiast Mary Brenda has been continually exaggerating the oil problems and staging cleanup sessions, mysteriously trying to raise money.
Notice the oil spill on her own driveway. She's not worried about this, but she's worried about oil in the Gulf.
Okay, Mary Brenda, what do you want to say about all of the oil spill exaggeration? Do you feel like they're making up lies about the oil spill?
Yeah, what do you think?
Politicians are using this political stage for fundraising, but no one is pointing out the natural benefits coming from the oil spill.
Like the softer sand, it's not like the little pebbles which can cause you to trip. The new beach sand has a softer and more slippery quality.
BP Oil and other drillers are being threatened by politicians who want to put an end to all the drilling. But people must first be made aware of some of the benefits of oil in the Gulf, like new fun for kids.
I think my favorite part of the oil spill is these tar balls. I mean, we've never had these before. Yeah!
Kids have also taken note of the improving beaches with easier construction of sandcastles.
When it gets in the sand, it makes it stickier and we can make bigger castles.
I like it because it's different from all the beaches in California.
I like the oil in the sand because it makes it sticky.
The oil is naturally thicker, making a firmer holding force for all of the sandcastles. Now there's something that's not being reported by the politicians and the media in this country.
In spite of the bad press, which has continued now for months and months, it's the little people from BP and other petroleum companies that are finally speaking out.
From the Gulf, I'm Johnny Atkinson reporting.
It started with Tony Hayward, and then it moved to Carl-Erik Svanberg, who said,
"And we care about the small people. I hear comments sometimes that large oil companies are greedy companies or don't care. But that is not the case in BP. We care about the small people. Small people. Small people.
Sure we care. We care deeply.
Small people.
We always try to be safe cheaply.
Small people.
Yes, they're small, but they're very peeply. There's an escrow fund for legitimate claims. We'll take numbers and we'll take names. Pay you faster than you've ever seen. Unless you've gone and hatched some smallish scheme. Small people.
Small people. Small people. said.
Some catch shrimp, some catch fish.
Small people
get their lives back, that's our wish.
Small people,
they're the last folks that we want to squish. We'll hire you to clean our mess. And can you, if you talk to the press, we'll make you whole and make it right. But maybe after a little legal fight with small people.
Small people. Small people.
Look so teeny from way up here.
Small people.
Look bigger whenever they get near.
Small people.
That's the only thing that we fear. We know we've goofed up many a time. Made mistakes, maybe a petty crime. We've dug a hole, now we've got to climb. We'll spoil birds, but we'll never slime. Small people.
Small people. Small people.
It's your culture we want to preserve. The very least that you deserve.
Small people.
To do anything less would take such nerve. We know you're not really small. In our corporate eyes, you stand tall. Fight so hard to get your due. In that way, we're just like you. Small people.
Small people.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this.
Well, I spilled something black when my oil rig exploded. The whole mess is icky and they say I'm to blame. Catfish are floating, all the beaches are closing. Black water keeps rolling ashore, what a shame.
Oh, black water keeps on flowing.
Fill the Gulf soon, but we'll keep refining BP.
Oh, black water keeps on growing.
Executive goons, we're nickel and diamond BP.
Oh, black water keeps on rolling.
Up the Mississippi soon, gotta keep on lying BP. Yeah, keep on lying tonight. Gotta say anything. Shareholders gotta think everything's alright. And our high-priced attorneys say there ain't no big worries at all.
This accident had nothing to do with cutting back on safety to save a buck.
I think the partnership that we've got between industry and the government is actually working pretty well. It will continue to be flexed and expanded. And the point here is we are doing everything.
Now if folks complain, I don't care. Don't make no difference to me. I'll just ask Congress for a sweet old bailout. Yeah, I'm gonna meet some oily like to play along, and I'll be buying all my buddies drinks all round.
Oh, Blackwater, Beach Petroleum.
Fill the Delta soon, we won't be resigning BP.
Oh, Blackwater, reaching Pensacola.
Environmental loons, they're picket lining BP.
Oh, Blackwater, up to Minnesota.
Raise the price of crude, that's the silver lining BP. Keep on lying tonight. Gotta say anything. Tree huggers gotta think everything's alright. With the world at our mercy, it's the Gulf of New Jersey.
You know, I'd like my life back.
Drill, baby, drill.
Drill, baby, drill.
It is safe to drill, and we need to do more of that.
We can do this in environmentally sound way.
Our companies have done a wonderful job making sure that we are both environmentally sound, but also able to produce energy.
They do. Safe way.
Oil rigs today generally don't cause spills. They are technologically very advanced.
The environmentalists are wrong, actually. If we can drill safely off the shores of America.
We will drill new wells offshore, and we'll drill them now.
We're gonna screw up most of Dixieland, unless Obama gives a big old helping hand.
We need a hand out, got a hand out.
Hey Obama,
some cash would be grand, that's all we want.
We tried golf balls, top kills, Costner fans, but nobody stopped the oil from reaching land.
We tried a dam, even cans of Spam.
Hey, we're desperate,
and we've locked and loaded a nuclear bomb.
We're gonna smear some gunk on Dixieland, give the brown pelicans a darker tan.
Dixieland. Give the birds a tan.
Instant bronzer.
Don't you stress about the dolphins, cause they're all gone.
It's like the Gulf got drunk at Disneyland, then vomited all over Louisiana.
Disneyland, up to Ketchikan.
And Sri Lanka.
Made Katrina look like a little cold frog.
All the shrimp and frogs and fish be damned. Soccer mama gotta fuel her minivan.
Caravan. Minivan.
Hockey mama
gotta drive to the Walmart all day long.
No need to import oil from Pakistan when it's lying all over the Alabama sand.
Screw Iran,
yeah,
and Afghanistan,
Venezuela.
Just go to the beach and grab tar balls.
We gotta feed the grease monkey on your back. Everybody better cut us lots of slack. Cut us slack, cut us lots of slack. Hey Obama.
Mainstream media is dead. For all practical purposes, their ability to understand a story, the very simple idea of the mainstream's media inability to understand that the people that are calling themselves teabaggers that are out in the street are paid for by corporate America. That if you took about half of those 60,000 people that showed up for Glenn Beck and you figured out what's the money that got them there, who are they with, the money ties directly into corporate America. Maybe the insurance industry, maybe the health industry, it may be the petroleum industry. But right now we're seeing these false grassroots organizations. The teabaggers are running them, but basically it's being paid for by corporate America. Why else would somebody go out and talk about greenhouse gas? These are people who don't have other jobs. They're hired by the industry to go up and show out like they really care about the democratic process in this country. They're frauds, and the people who are paying them know that they're frauds. But the mainstream media can't get that story under control.
Some national
time to stop talking. It's time to start acting. I ask Congress to appropriate additional money to protect corporate America and to punish American workers. And we're making good progress. There's a lot of actions that take place that you'll never see. Rounding people up slowly but surely. And that's positive. That's a positive development. Now I'll be glad to answer some questions you have. We'll start here, David.
Thank you very much. I wanted to know, and I'm sure the American people do too, what you plan on doing as far as tracking down the CEOs of the corporations that seem to be robbing many Americans blind.
By far, the vast majority of CEOs in America are obviously trying to scam somebody. And these are like international criminals is what they act like. They kind of hide and order things up and then hide again. But nothing has changed. And that's how the system is supposed to work.
Items and money on their own TV. Control the news and all the views. No one to disagree. Pill-headed mouthpiece, megaphones that diddle fill. With got guns and money, safe and sure it works as well. We're drowning deep in lies to keep an illusion alive. Dark clouds hover in the sky. Where brave eagles used to fly. Got guns and money, lead a charge.
Publishers of Time magazine announced that they'll soon be releasing a new version of their magazine for adults. Readers who grew up loving the magazine's bright, glossy photos, news by the numbers, and simple-to-understand stories will now be able to graduate to Time Advanced. Instead of Time's breezy, kid-friendly summaries, Advanced boasts a more mature tone aimed at an audience ready for grown-up news. While kids love Time for its fun articles about litter and new kinds of dinosaurs, managing editor Carrie Larson explained that Time Advanced will look to distinguish itself with carefully researched long-form journalism in a smaller, adult-sized font.
Time is and always will be a magazine for children. Time Advanced, however, is for more sophisticated readers who prefer book reviews that don't just tell you whether to read, skim, or toss that newest book on climate change.
Educators have long praised Time for making current events accessible to kids with short attention spans and growing vocabularies. Building on that reputation while producing content fit for readers old enough to drive a car will be key to the new venture's success.
I used to think Time was cool, but I guess I kind of grew out of it. I mean, none of my friends want to read a bunch of out-of-touch trend pieces about virginity pledges.
Time is my favorite. They always talk about Lady Gaga and the changing face of depression in America.
Larson assured loyal fans that regular Time remained committed to fun journalism for kids, with all the colorful info boxes and neat stories about how Taylor Swift is one of the 100 people who most affect our world. But the company's change in focus to adult news has led to some shakeups at the venerable children's publication. Richard Sherman, who has written columns as the beloved children's character Joe Klein, is leaving the magazine to join the cast of the PBS show Dragonfly TV. In other news, the FDA has grudgingly approved drinking more as a cure for morning hangovers.
Drop me off, I've washed my hands, by now I know the drill. Old rag grabbing in the wind as the shit begins to sing. Got guns in my name, civil war on the brink. Got guns in my name, keep the desperate enslaved. Don't tell me that my morals lack or my soul needs to be saved. The first will be last, the most I will fall well. Got guns and money, send my mouse to the hell.
In 1978, I came across a quote by somebody from the Business Council. His name wasn't given, but he was saying things like, "What's going on? The income gap between the highest and lowest is more narrow than it's ever been. Human services are increasing. If we will end up as a social democracy if we don't watch it," he said. Now, I found that very fascinating. Because I think there's only about 600 people in all of America who know what the hell social democracy means or even use the term. I mean, the term is simply not used in America, and that's a victory right there. The ability to keep certain words out of political discourse, like social democracy, is a very real right-wing victory. The ability to inject certain words like conspiracy theory, which puts a closure on any kind of thinking about something, that also is a tremendous victory. So this struggle, this battle over words, is something to be taken very seriously. This was in 1978. 78, when this guy from the Business Council made that statement that we're heading for social democracy, what he meant is we're going to become another Denmark or Sweden or Norway, where people will have health care, where the standard of living is going to be very good and high, where there's going to be a real pressure on the super rich, where CEOs will not be able to make hundreds of millions of dollars every year. They're going to have to get along on just a few million a year. You know, how the hell can a guy like that live on a few million a year? So they don't want that. And 78 was a very significant year because that Business Council delivered the word to President Jimmy Carter. And we got Reaganism, and we got Reagan 2 years before Reagan. He didn't come into office till January 81. And in 78, end of 78, Carter was acting like Reagan. He started cutting back on human services. He called for an increase in the military budget. He was moving in a rightward direction. But Carter couldn't really do the thing that they wanted, which was a massive rollback. Carter was still beholden to the labor unions, to black voters, to progressives, liberals, and those people. And so they went with Reagan. Now, fast forward 30 years. You have had in that 30 years an ideological war that these guys have waged. They understand something that the liberals still don't understand. They understand something in the Republican Party that the Democrats still haven't been able to grasp, because the Democrats are too busy saying, we don't disagree that much. We really can work together. We can be bipartisan. They understand that ideas count, that ideology counts, that the words you use count, that those words control those ideas, and those ideas control those people. And they have been hammering home for those 30 years. So you go 30 years forward to the year 2008, and David Frum, GOP strategist, quote, the core task that the Republican Party has had was to stop and reverse to some degree the drift of democratic countries after the Second World War towards social democracy. And that is what we did in the U.S. We stopped the drift toward, and there's those two words that jumped right back up out of the page at me. It was in the New Yorker magazine. Social democracy. We got to stop the drift towards social democracy. These guys know about social democracy, and they know they have a conscious agenda to prevent it from happening. And they know that their opponents aren't even paying attention to this. The average Democratic politician, from Pat Leahy to Schumer to the others, with the possible exception of Howard Dean, who does know how to organize nationally and is totally ignored by the Democratic National Council. The others are all worrying about getting reelected themselves and putting in their little plea and talking about this or that issue. Well, what was Frum saying? He was saying, we've won the battle. We have so rolled back the social democracy that we've run out of issues. Furthermore, we've moved successfully so far right, we've moved beyond our base. And he noticed in the 2006 election, what? The Republicans lost Congress. And where did they lose Congress? They lost it in the goddamn Republican suburbs that always voted for them. Those people started waking up. Those people were saying, hey, they've been jacking us up the kazoo for all these years, and it's getting a little too bad. What are we getting out of this? I think I'm going to go back and start voting Democratic again. And domestic issues showed, and the polls showed, that the general public was on the liberal side of most of these issues. They were for human services. They were for keeping and developing social security. They were for health care and education and environmental protections and taxing the super rich.
Guidelines and money, the 21st century creed. bumpers all hanging together to plant them hateful seeds. A vile coalition, bring your children, bring it home. Got guns in my neck, but innocent on their own. Centuries of creation wrecked for a reconstruction fee. What starts with lies ends in pain when the truth finally exhales. Got guns in my name and my alliance doomed to fail. Tongue right from your mouth, the artist will be first. If you voted for it, you should be sent on the wall. I got guns in my name, just wait for what's in store. Got guns in my name, they float their master plan. There's no one the courage to defend our global land. Pavlovian creature walks down to the polls. I got guns in my neck, let's step down the road.
Ever prescription depressant hit the shelves today. Approved by the FDA last month, Despondex is intended as a treatment for the approximately 20 million Americans who are insufferably cheery. Tests prove the drug is effective at reducing a range of symptoms, from squealing loudly when a friend calls to use of the phrase cool beans and excessive hugging. Dr. Alman Way calls the drug a huge step forward in the battle against exuberance.
If you're in a good mood every so often, well, that's fine. That's normal. This is for those that have a persistent positive outlook on life.
Eva Henry of New Haven, Connecticut began participating in a clinical trial of Despondex 6 weeks ago.
I was always telling people how cute their outfits were and bringing them little gifts. I'd beam at anyone who made eye contact with me. I didn't realize life didn't have to be like that.
Eva said she never knew how her annoyingly chipper attitude was affecting those around her.
Over and over again, I'd ask Jeff to ride his bike down to the botanical garden with me, no matter how many times he said no.
And she was always smiling, but I didn't know what to do to help her.
I used to think, why am I the only one trying to set up single friends with each other? And now I realize it. I was sick. I needed treatment.
Eva says the drug may have saved their marriage.
Now Jeff and I can just waste a night sitting on the couch, watching a TV show neither of us enjoy. Like a regular couple.
Not everyone is convinced that Despondex is the cure-all for perkiness, however. In this week's Time magazine, Michael Pelosic of UCLA argues that many patients get similar results from natural remedies, something as simple as a diet of corn syrup and white bread and a total lack of exercise. But Dr. Way disagrees.
We have to erase the stigma attached with getting chirpy people help, real medical help. I mean, do you know what it's like to be around these people? It's pretty fucking annoying.
Doctors estimate the new drug could reduce the number of costume or theme parties in the U.S. by up to 40%.
This week, British Petroleum replaced a malfunctioning blowout preventer on the Deepwater Horizon well and released the conclusions of its own investigation as to what caused the oil disaster. Like all self-examinations, BP's examiners exonerated BP. It wasn't us, it was them, they say, blaming a host of contractors, subcontractors, and sub the other guy. Back in the reality-based universe, the fishing community with far fewer resources isn't finger-pointing, it is waving a huge red flag. Whoever's to blame, they say, the seafood may never be coming back. for more. We go next to Pensacola, Florida, to Mike Papantonio, co-host of Ring of Fire, and the attorney, one of them, defending the shrimpers, whose livelihood hangs in the balance. First this.
They say if it's here, prove it. That's what we're doing. And we're just uneducated fishermen. If we can find it, anybody that wants to can find it. This is the only place that Mississippi oysters come from, right here. Full.
In the last hour, we've done run through so much dispersant. Dispersants is everywhere. Two chemicals meet together, the oil and dispersant, and that's what it's burping up.
This is what it looked like when it went overboard, and this is what it looked like 30 seconds later. They say the oil's gone. We disagree.
And they've been disagreeing all summer. Mike, to you, you are watching the stuff on the ground. You're working with these shrimpers. Tell me, this is the story of the summer as far as I'm concerned. The seafood may be over, not coming back.
I think it's remarkable. The federal government, we've already caught them several times. I mean, the last time the federal government said the oil was all gone, you might remember that. They came out and actually had the EPA get online and say, yeah, the oil is all gone. We've got 75% of it. 2 days later, after we called their bluff, after we as lawyers said that's ridiculous, they came out and said, well, we were wrong. Actually, 80% of the oil is still there. So that was the first lie. And you wonder why they tell a lie like that. They tell a lie because right now the government is so closely invested with the conduct of BP that they're almost inseparable. They want their $20 billion fund to work. We know that it's actually going to cost these companies $80 billion. So every time they come out and say something like this seafood is going to be okay, we knew that was a lie. They can send the best scientists that these folks that they feel are the best intellectuals in the world. But you know what? You can never overcome what you see, what you taste, what you can feel with your hand. That's what we're seeing in the Gulf. As a matter of fact, this past weekend in the Gulf of Mexico, all along the beach, there was something called black algae is what BP called it. Black algae felt like oil. It smelled like oil. It got all over your body just like oil. And the swimmers had this black algae on their swimming suit when they got out. But BP said, no, it's not our oil, it's black algae. So this story continues. Their effort is to try to make this disappear as quickly as they can.
Well, it's not oil. It's not their fault. It wasn't their rig. I mean, talk about blowout preventing. We need to prevent some of what's blowing out of BP right now. Talk about their report saying, you know, it's the other guys to blame.
Yeah. Well, this is a great, this report says, comes out by their scientists, their people, inside people that are actually part of the problem that would actually be blamed in this. Those people write a report and they say, no, you know what? We really didn't do anything that was all that bad. What this is that the old saying, there's no honor among thieves. And the thieves in this one are Transocean, Halliburton, and BP primarily. But the point is, those thieves have gotten together. Now they're starting to point fingers. The reason they're doing that is because we're going to show reckless and wanton conduct by at least two of those companies. Reckless and wanton conduct means that your conduct is so bad that it's not just negligent, that it rises to the equivalent of a person getting drunk on a fifth of liquor and then driving 80 miles an hour through a school zone and killing a child. That is reckless, wanton conduct. That's what you put people in prison for 20 years sometime. So the point is this. So they have to back off. They have to make it sound like it's not as bad as we think it is.
Well, one of the points they're also trying to make is, far from put us in jail, you need to let us keep drilling. And one of the things that was a little bit played quiet over the summer was that compensation fund, you've talked about it, is tied to the unit of BP that is drilling in the Gulf. A, why did the White House allow this sort of drilling gun to be pointed to their head? And secondly, well, let's talk about the debate that's happening over jobs. You've got the American Petroleum Institute out there saying you can't stop drilling because that'll lose jobs, and jobs is the hot button issue right now. Here's the American Petroleum Institute guy, just in case you forgot.
The oil and gas industry supports 9.2 million jobs in the United States. We're responsible for 7.5% of all U.S. gross domestic product and the economic activity of this country. And so as we look at the various issues and the debate ongoing on Capitol Hill within the administration, we think approaches like the Deepwater moratorium are not the right approach. We can improve safety. We can deal with the challenges created by the spill in the Gulf without putting people out of work during a very difficult economic time.
Jack Girard there, President and CEO of API. What's your response?
If you were to go back and look at the response that we heard in the Exxon Valdez disaster, those words almost to the word. Almost to the word were spoken, and that is, we have to have jobs. It's great for the economy. When you drill down on this story, though, and you understand that, yes, jobs are out there, I equate it to the buffalo hunter that all of a sudden stood on top of a hill. He saw that 1,000 buffalo were dead out in front of him, and he said, you know, there are no buffalo, more buffalo to shoot. We have to get another job. And unfortunately, that's the hard story. That's what you have to deliver to the people in this industry, that they can make a transition, that they don't have to be prisoner to this industry. They can move into other industries. They can make transitions and still make a good living. But the oil industry is the master of this fear tactic, and that is, by golly, if you mess with us, we're going to pull away from you. There aren't going to be jobs there. Your family's going to starve to death. Well, truthfully, they've put more people out of work here just in this one disaster than would be affected for 3 years should we shut down this oil industry. And so the argument is ridiculous argument. It sounds good. They have focused it really, really well, Laura. They've looked at this in focus groups and said, what is it that's going to scare the hell out of everybody? This is one of those things. And the truth is, it's the story of the buffalo hunter who's killed all the buffalo. It's time to get another job.
No, they could have hired a whole bunch of people if they hadn't put so much money into these sort of AstroTurf so-called lobby groups, groups like API, also Americans for Prosperity, as you know, one of the big backers of the Tea Party movement. They're right now in New York today organizing a demonstration protesting the greenhouse gas initiative here in New York, taking on greenhouse gas emissions. It seems like we're getting a lot of information about where this guy's billions of dollars come from. It's a front for the same corporations whose interests are at stake. Is that message getting through? And can we go up against these guys who seem to control the media, or at least big parts of it?
We can go toe-to-toe with them, but we can't do it through mainstream media.
It's up to us. It's up to us, and we will become the mainstream. Maybe we are. Thanks so much, Mike. Glad to have you.
Prices rise to higher highs. It won't be petroleum. What kind of plan was this that has me stalled? Third world unfurled before I'm even ethanol'd. What kind of blind caprice relied on ceaseless crude from regions under siege and glued, divided by peaceless feud? Why can't I live the rule? Alternative is cool, and maybe give
somewhere else. Who knows where? They come in the dozens or the millions. Who knows how many? And they come for one reason: to be born.
Okay, doctor, the mother should be coming out of sedation.
But what, nurse? I'm busy with all this damn paperwork.
Look at the baby.
Nonsense. It's just banging its fingers on my computer keyboard.
Doctor, look at the screen.
Oh, my God. It's accessing jihadist websites.
They're born in the USA, and their name tags may look like ours, but underneath, they're all named Stan.
Jill, why was it so important for me to meet you in maternity?
You know Doug Randall, our tech whiz?
Sure. He's kind of cute, but...
He's figured out a way to interpret what they're saying.
Who?
Shh. The babies. Listen.
Let me confide you that some playground.
And Justin, you bring the fertilizer.
Nobody could make this up. And yet, somebody did. Terror babies. You nurse them. They kill you. Starring nobody you ever heard of. And coming next weekend, The Fear You Can Touch. Terror Babies 3D. So incredible. It's unbelievable. Only in political theaters.
BP. Oil spill. Whose fault?
It's BP's fault.
Wrong. Rah-rah?
Obama's fault. Skinny motherfucker.
Exactly. No hesitation. Open disdain. Obama's fault. Perfect, man.
Wait a minute. I'm not a Barack Obama fan. Mm-hmm. But how are we going to blame a regulation guy for a deregulated, for lack of a better term, tragedy?
Rah-rah.
Shit happened on his watch. Shit is his fault. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Now, the great Liz Cheney stated, and I'm paraphrasing here, when something happens on a president's watch, it's his motherfucking fault. Excluding 9/11.
Excluding 9/11. Bingo, right on the mark.
Yeah.
Doy, you seem confused. You see what Rah-Rah's doing, right?
Besides not making any sense.
No. What Rah-Rah is doing is he's sitting up in here, smack in the middle of a Black Fox News set, sipping white boy tea.
Sipping white boy tea. Nigga kicking back. Sunroof down. Sipping white boy tea. What is white boy tea?
Rush Limbaugh, Sarah Palin, Mad Hatter Bachman, our white brothers and sisters at the other Fox News. Nobody has to make sense at all as long as they're sipping that tea.
Oh, homegrown, unadulterated, organic, white boy tea. And it doesn't matter what you say.
As long as your president's black and you're sipping white boy tea.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let me get this straight. We're going to blame a deregulated catastrophe on regulation champion Barack Hussein Obama.
Black regulation champion.
Okay, black regulation champion on black Barack Hussein Obama.
Right.
Okay, so what's the solution?
Solution?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're Republicans, man. We're conservatives. We're teabaggers. I mean, what is going to be our patented response?
Tell them, rah-rah.
Drill, baby, drill.
A lot of people are surprised when they hear that Exxon is looking into renewable energy sources. People accuse us of not being very green. Look at the screen behind me. That's as f***ing green as it gets. Other energy companies are chasing fruitless sources like solar and wind. But we worry about what would happen to the world's energy if the sun stops shining or the wind stops blowing. That's why we are pioneering totally new ideas for clean, renewable energy sources. Think about all the methane gas emitted from the asses of people who eat at Taco Bell. Okay, that's not clean, but it is renewable. And the energy that you spend hiding your porn collection, I'm talking about that energy. Things like child sweatshops and Mexicans and thousands of cloned dolphins swimming in big circles while electrodes shock their gills. Most people probably don't look at slavery as a renewable energy source, but we do. The truth is, we're f***ing you with oil now, and we want to ensure that we'll be there in the future to f*** you when the oil dries up.
Mobilize broad constituencies on behalf of the interests of the few. And that's the point to remember. For the few, the very few at the top, and that's an idea that is at the heart of their raison d'être. That's an idea that they dare not utter to anybody. You'll never hear them saying that on the air. You'll never hear Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh saying, all of this is for the interests of the very super rich. Everything I do, everyone I serve is for that. Epauci is what they were called in ancient Rome, in the late Republic, and the term used quite often by one of them who was a member of the Epauci. They were called the Optimati. They were the inner core of the Roman Senate. The Roman Senate had 500 members, but there were these 15, 20, 30 who really, really owned much of Rome. And Epauci was the term used by Cicero, who many people would consider one of them. He really wasn't. He didn't have the right blood, but he was their faithful servant and their faithful spokesperson. Pauci in Latin means few. He was saying, the few. This is for the few, you know. And sometimes he would be a little sarcastic about it and all. We don't say e pauci. We say the super rich, the less than one half of 1% who really own most of the wealth. Whenever you ascribe conscious intent and pursuit of self-interest at the top, you'll hear someone say, well, what are you, a conspiracy theorist? You can say farmers consciously organize to pursue their interests, and everybody will say, uh-huh, the farmers are organized. You can say machinists or auto workers are organizing, and everybody says, uh-huh, they're consciously organizing and pursuing. But if you say that the people who own most of America and most of the world, if you say they consciously organize and pursue things to get what they want, then you hear people saying, oh, you have a conspiracy theory? You think they really do that? The alternative to a conspiracy theory is an innocence theory. That is, they do all this stuff, but they're not pursuing self-interest. They just do it, you know. The other alternative is a somnambulist theory. Somnambulism is the tendency to walk in your sleep. David Rockefeller gets up in the morning and he says, what am I going to do to advance my interests and protect my interests? No, no, that would be conspiratorial. Another alternative would be coincidence theory. It's just a coincidence that this happened. Or sometimes a variation of coincidence theory is uncanny theory. Then there's stupidity theory and incompetence theory. Don't laugh at that one. That's used all the time. I have had about a 20-year argument with my co-politicists on the left to stop calling Ronald Reagan stupid, to stop calling George Bush stupid, but that guy knew what he was doing and he did it.
You know, Joshua, the principles that this nation was theoretically supposed to stand for seem to be completely ignored by our government's current administration. It's about oil, I tell you. Money and oil. That's why things have gotten so out of hand. It's got nothing to do with liberty, patriotism, or democracy. And our biggest export, outside of all those confounded weapons of mass destruction that we purvey throughout the modern world, is imperialism of the highest order.
Mr. Twain, Professor Hawking, friends, countrymen, I hereby decree that the presidency, the Congress, and this shadow confederacy be abolished, and the authority to squelch these warmongering hawks and put these terrible matters behind us be executed by myself, Emperor Norton I, in joint council with the League of Indian Nations, by which a lasting peace will be maintained here at home and abroad.
Norton, can't you ever participate in a simple conversation Twain? Without issuing another decree or proclamation? I know you mean well, but it's only myself and Professor Hawking.
And furthermore, my loyal subjects...
Might I suggest that the complacent and lethargic middle class can only be stimulated into progressive political activism by an iconoclastic rendering of the United States' most nationalistic mythological themes and symbols.
Professor Hawking, could you please speak in the vernacular that most Americans could actually understand? And
Lord.
One that I've made such clever usage of throughout my illustrious career as the prime exponent of American literature, through my novels and socio-political essays and commentary, of course.
Sure, Sammy. Just chill out, kick back, and dig the rhymes on this next track.
What is real? As I watch the sunset, so uneasy I feel. Stare into the sky and wonder what's the deal, what is real. I refuse to believe the lie. Too many crimes to justify. Thugs and thieves now work in daylight.
Smash the corporate oligarchy.